Good morning. Once again, it's a privilege to me to be with you and share a message from the Word of God. If you have your Bibles with you, if you will, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. So, just looking out, it's a beautiful day. It's almost one more day of summertime, and we'll get our fall and cool weather. So, how great that will be. Reading 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? In this text, I think Paul is telling us that we should examine ourselves. But do we? Or do we sometimes fall short when it comes to our self-examination? Self-examination is not new. It's in the Old Testament. Jeremiah called for the people of Israel to examine themselves and turn back to the Lord in Lamentations 3:40, which says, "Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord." Paul also wrote about self-examination when he talked about our observance of the Lord's Supper, and it should be a time for our self-examination. Where he says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And the observance of the Lord's Supper, to me, is the most important part of our worship service. And it's an area where I think that many people in churches today fall short when it comes to the proper observance of the Lord's Supper and our self-examination. And I think many lessons could be come from the two verses that I just read. But today I want to talk about Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, where he challenged them in the text that I read, to examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own self how that Jesus is in you, except you be reprobates. When Paul made this challenge to Corinthians, I think it was his way of telling them that self-examination should be an ongoing activity in their day-to-day life. And I think the same challenge of ongoing self-examination applies as much to us today as it did over 2,000 years ago. But in response to Paul's challenge to self-examine yourself, I can imagine the Corinthians asking pretty much the same questions that we might ask today. Why should we examine ourselves? And by what standard should we use to examine ourselves? And what sort of questions should we ask when we examine ourselves? The first question, why should we examine ourselves? Paul gives us part of the answer in the text that I read, where he says, to see whether you are in the faith. The expression "in the faith" that Paul used, I believe, means the same thing as being a faithful Christian. Using my words, I think Paul said, examine yourself to see if you're being a faithful Christian. And the only way for us to see if we're being a faithful Christian and remaining in the faith is to examine our lives daily. Daily self-examination also helps us to remember that there's an ever-present danger of drifting away because our adversary, Satan, offer so many pleasing worldly things, to us daily. Self-examination is helpful in helping us remember that it is possible to slip away from our faith. We're told in Hebrews 2, verse 1, "Therefore ye ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which ye have heard, lest at any time you should let them slip." And what we've heard is Christ's gospel and his words of instructions. If we allow ourselves to drift away or to drift or slip away from His word and refuse to heed them, then Satan has us. When Satan has us, we develop an evil heart of unbelief, as we're told in Hebrews 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest that there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. In other words, if we slip away from God's word and develop an evil heart of unbelief, our heavenly reward will also slip away. Only through our self-examination can we know that we're a faithful Christian and haven't slipped away from Christ's gospel and His words of instruction. How do we know that we haven't slipped away, you know, from Christ? The answer, you know, we'll know when our self-examination reveals that Christ abides in us and we have kept His commandments. The Bible tells us that, and he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him, and hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He has given us. It's 1 John 3:24. As I said before, self-examination is the only way that we can see if we're being a faithful, you know, Christian and keeping His commandments. Paul also challenged the Corinthians to consider whether Jesus was in them when he said, knowing ye not your own selves, but that Jesus Christ is in you. What a wonderful thought. Christ being present in our soul. And He can be if we keep His commandments. And we know this is true because it's a promise that Jesus made, you know, to us Himself in John 14, you know, verses 21 through 23, where He says, And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is it that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto me and make our abode, you know, with him. And at what point in our lives do we begin to have, you know, Christ in us? The Bible tells us when it's when we put Him on, you know, in baptism. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You know, Galatians 3, 26 through 27. When we're baptized into Christ and put Him on, we oftentimes wonder, how is He present in me? And I think the key to understanding how is to know two things. First, simply know that He is. And secondly, realize that there is a way that we can know that He is. And being able to know both of these things comes from one thing, our faith in Jesus Christ. Knowing that we know these two things is why I believe that we need to periodically examine ourselves. We know that from reading from Galatians 3, 26 and 27, that it's a given that Christ is in us unless we become disqualified. Or as Paul said in the text that we read, except you be reprobates. What does reprobate, you know, mean? Webster defines reprobates as to condemn strongly as unworthy, unacceptable, or evil, and refuse to accept. When Paul says, except you be reprobates, if I understand it correctly, it was his way of saying that if you fail the test of being in the faith and having Christ in you, you will be unworthy. This verse also implies that Christians indeed can fall away from their grace and become a reprobate or unworthy. Paul also warns us that we can fall away from our unwavering faith when he says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. It can be found in 2 Peter 3, verse 17. And Paul's warning here is this. Even if we know that we are a faithful Christian, we can be led away by Satan and by the false teachers of the world. Paul also said, do you not know yourselves? I think the only way we can find out if we really know ourselves is to make sure that we haven't fallen into the trap of self-deception described in James 1, verses 22 through 25, where it says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looking into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and abideth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religious is in vain. It's only through our self-examination can we avoid deceiving ourselves and not knowing what our true condition is. As you can see, there's this ever-present damage or ever-present need to self-examine and prove ourselves, making sure that we're still in the faith. Which leads to the next question. By what standard should we use to examine ourselves? One standard we cannot use and rely upon what we think is what we may think of ourselves. Even if we think we're right, we're not the final judge. Let's see what the Bible says. For I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4:4. Because we know nothing by ourselves, you see, we can be wrong in our assumptions, which can lead to wrong conclusions about ourselves. We find examples of wrong assumptions in Acts 26:9-11, where Paul describes how he persecuted Christians with the authority of the chief priest. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing also did in Judah, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received the pardon from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even into strange cities. Paul thought, or he assumed, that he was doing the service of God because he had the approval of the chief priest. But he made a wrong assumption based on a wrong assumption. There'll be many people on Judgment Day who, like Paul, think they're pleasing God, but use wrong assumptions during their lifetime. And can you imagine their surprise on Judgment Day when standing before the judgment seat of Christ, hearing, not every man that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And these are words of Christ that can be found in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. If Jesus tells us, I never knew you, depart from me, because we rely upon what we think, even if we think we're right, then it's obvious to me that we have to look for another standard outside of ourselves to use when we self-examine. Another standard that we should never use is to compare ourselves to others or trust their approval. Again, let's see what the your scriptures tell us in Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that command themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. They may be wrong in their basic assumption because they're not wise. They may be wrong in the conclusions they make about themselves. Even if they think they're right, using them as a standard for our self-evaluation is not wise. Comparing ourselves to others for their approval is not wise, because people are often wrong in their thoughts and evaluations of themselves and others. Paul tells us, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. And that's from 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3. The truth is, our judgment and approval comes only from the Lord, not from, you know, others or ourselves. If judgment comes from the Lord, from all the Lord, it gives us a clue to the correct answer to the question, by what standard should we judge us, you know, use, examine ourselves. And the answer is, we must examine ourselves by the standard of God's Word. If we examine ourselves by the standard of God's Word, and it makes it easier to remember that it's the commendation of the Lord that makes us approved. For not he that commandeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commandeth. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 18. Maybe the most important reason to use God's Word as our standard is what the Lord himself, you know, said in John 12, verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Well, let's not forget that in the last day, the Lord becomes our ultimate judge. He will judge our life and how we applied the standard of God's word, whether it be good or bad. The only standard we can use when we examine ourselves is the Word of God. We can't trust our feelings. We can't trust others, you know, what others might say or think. We can only trust the Word of God. When it comes to trusting God's Word, we can only need to remember what the old song that we sing that says, trust and obey, for there's no other way. Isn't it amazing that how the songwriter, you know, gets it right more often than not? The last of the three questions that we might, you know, respond to Paul's challenge to self-examine is, what sort of questions should we ask ourselves? And a few of the questions that I could come up with, you know, may include, is Christ in me? We begin to have Christ in us, you know, when we put on Christ in baptism. As the Bible says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3:27. Have you put on Christ in baptism? Only you know the answer. Another question, am I keeping his commandments? And once again, we only know the answer to that question. Jesus tells us, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved my Father, and I will love him and will magnify myself to him. And this is another what I call a condition and a promise statement. You know, the condition is knowing and keeping and obeying God's, you know, knowing his commandments. And the promise, Christ will love us. And if Christ loves us, we will be loved by the Father. And the best part of all, Christ will be in us. Another question might be, am I abiding in his word? Jesus tells us in John 8:31 and 32, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. And again, this Jesus gives us a condition and a promise. The condition, continue in my word. And the promise, you will be my disciples and know the truth. The objective of our self-examination should be to see if we are abiding in his word and know the truth. The only way that we'll know the truth is to know and obey God's word. Do I love others as Christ loved me? You know, we should, because Jesus commands us, to do it in John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, and ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have loved one to another. Well, the question was, am I bearing fruit? Which leads to yet another question. What other fruits that we should need to bear? And one fruit is the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the faith of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against such there is no law. And another fruit would be the fruit of our lips. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. And that's Hebrew 13, verse 50. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:16 that we are to let our light shine before men by our good works, and that we may glorify our Father. Let's read what Jesus said. Let your light so shine before men that they may see you, may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You can see if the light of Jesus shines in us, will shine in us if we continually self-examine ourselves. And another is, do we have the attitude of a true follower of Christ? To know what's in the mind of a true follower of Christ, we need to look at in Philippians, and we'll start reading about verse 7. But what things are gained to me, those that I counted lost for Christ? Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but as dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto his death. In these verses, I think Paul is teaching us that all the worldly things should be regarded as filth and lost. Anything that's not a gain for Christ in our life will be, our eternal ruin. The only way for us to preserve our eternal life is to accept Jesus Christ and give up all the evil things Satan and the world offers. We do this by believing in Christ, renouncing our sinful self, obey the gospel, and be baptized into Christ. As we read before, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's Galatians 3:27. And how wonderful it is to enjoy his presence in our soul. Our self-examination should also show that we have regarded and continue to regard the worldly things of our life as filth and harmful to our heaven life. Our heavenly life is worth every sacrifice we make. In continuing reading in Philippians 3, starting at verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, whether either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. If I understand Paul correctly here, he doesn't view the Christian prize of eternal salvation as being something that you gain from any final and irrevocable act. It's still something that takes an effort on our part. When we obey the gospel and are baptized into Christ, it doesn't make us perfect. It does give us the tools and the strength for us to use as we continue to press toward the mark of eternal salvation during our earthly life. We should never forget that the devil will put many difficult obstacles before us. It won't be easy, but the prize on judgment day will be worth it, as it says in Revelation 2:10. For fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer, and I will give thee a crown of life. There's many other questions that we might that might be appropriate to ask, you know, when we self-examine ourselves. You know, it's my open prayer that the few that I have mentioned will serve to illustrate how and why we need to use the Word of God to prove ourselves, you know, during our self-evaluation. And just think about how sad it's going to be for those who are reprobate, disqualified, and who failed the test because they didn't self-examine, or their self-examination, you know, was not successful. And what type of people might these be? Paul describes, you know, some in Philippians 3, 18 and 19. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, and whose mind earthly things. And these people are the enemies, you know, of church because they have not given up their worldly vices. They continue to obey their sensual appetite for shameful things instead of setting their affections on things that are from above. They continue to set their minds on earthly, you know, things, all of which will lead to their destruction in the end. Don't you think it'd be a lot better if our self-examination revealed that we'd be more like the people that is described in verses 20 and 21 of Philippians 3, where it says, "For our conversation is in heaven, for whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." We must frequently examine ourselves in the light of God's Word to ensure that we'll not be, you know, disqualified. God's Word is the only standard that we should use to examine ourselves. And remember, we can't trust our feelings or trust the, you know, what others might say. We can only trust the Word of God. If you're here today and need the prayers of the church to strengthen your self-examination, you know, efforts, please come forward, you know, during the song of invitation, and we'll pray for you and with you. Most importantly, if you're here today and haven't answered the gospel call and followed the plan of salvation, which requires us to hear the gospel, Romans 10:17, believe in Jesus Christ, you know, John 3:16, repent of our sins, Luke 13:3, confess our faith, as we read in Matthew 10:32, and be baptized, as it tells us in Acts 2:38, and then live a faithful life until death, as we're told in Revelation 2:10. And when I do like the eunuch did, it, as we read about in Acts, 8 verses 34 to 38, he heard the word. He believed in Jesus, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he was baptized, and he went away, rejoicing. The invitation is open, so please come as we stand and sing the song selected.